Well, welcome, man. How you doing?
Good, man. We back again.
Breaking up a little bit. Breaking up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. How do I sound now? Good sound for
you. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing pretty good, man, you know. Another day, you know. I'm blessed to be here. Let's talk football with the Hangman, the one and only.
We got a bad connection because you break it up.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and go to a break.
Live in the DMV each and every day. Putting it down.
Hey, what's how you sound? How you hearing me?
For the Maryland, for the VA. Hey, send your music in at everythingdmv at gmail.
Hey, Brooks, how you doing? How you hearing me?
Doing great, man. Doing absolutely great. A little break it up a little bit. But we got a big show tonight, you know. Thank you for everybody tuning in to the show. And we got some real good guests coming in. We got my man, Mark Martin, head coach at Wilson High School, turned the program around. He was a good defensive back. He could play back in the day. He played minor league ball. He's owner of the Explosion, minor league football team. So he had eyes and a lot of fire. But I respect him a lot because he has really made Wilson a top-flight team. He has really turned it around, and I take my hat off. I have a lot of respect for him. He'll be on the show. This guy, Malcolm Pittman. Malcolm Pittman played at the University of Virginia. Star. He's run kickoffs and punts back. You know, I think he set some records. He also played with the Metro Bulls. He was my third down back. He was one of the older guys on the team, but he was outstanding third down back. But he's a legend in Maryland as far as high school football.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. That's so nice, man. Nice show tonight.
Those two will be on the show tonight, and I got some announcements to make later on in the show. But I really, really like the upcoming shows that we have. Next week we have Freddie Wagner, you have John Cotton, and the one and only Bob Hedden, used to coach at H.P. Woodson. And
wow.
Cadoza, my high school coach.
Nice.
So we're going to have a triple threat next year. Next week. So we're going to have three guests next week. But
wow.
Today, tonight, we got my man Mark Martin, and we got Mark Martin and Malcolm Pittman.
Wow.
So, and coming month, we're gonna have a lot of people from the DMV. That's what we all about. We're gonna have a lot of coaches, players. Also, we're gonna have people, community activists. We're going to have sports writers, sportscasters. We have a lot of different people. So, football season over with, but we got to have a variety.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We've got some great people on already. J.D. Brown, Ty Barnett, Kelsey Nelson. You got some great people on. And then you had your boy from Kentucky. Is that how you say it?
Well, we always have the best. I'm gonna make an announcement about Ty Barnett fight on February the 27th at the convention center. And my man Big Chuck Benoit, one of my big huge defensive linemen, they have a big spring kickoff at with about 18s. Minor league football. They're gonna be at the Auxiliary Field at FedEx and at Capital One Stadium. So that's coming up. So we'll talk about that later.
Hey, what you think about the Mohamed Asuna thing about him not re-signing with the Bengals, the wide receiver?
I didn't get you. You're breaking up. What did you say? Who signed?
They said it's virtually no chance for Asuna to re-sign with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, man.
We'll find out.
Oh, yeah.
We'll find out because free agent and people are going to be jumping around. So, you know, if you got a favorite team and if you think that your team played good last year or they played bad, you still got hope because people are bouncing around. It's not like before when they had, you could sign your own players. Now people are moving around. If you think a player is going to be loyal to your team, he's loyal to that money. So wherever the money is, that's where he's going. So you can't look at it and say, we're going to be better next year. We're going to be better. It's not the same in football because players bounce around, especially when you win a Super Bowl. People will, you know, back in the day, you know, they would stay with a team and you can sign your own players. But now, wherever the money is, they leaving if they're unrestricted. So
wow.
I'm not surprised about any moves. I'm not surprised about any moves.
Wow. I mean, do you think the game is fair like that? Because to me, it sounds like you can buy whoever you want, whenever you want them.
Well, that's true. You know, but I can't hear you too much because you're breaking up. You're still breaking up. But
yeah, are you in the same location that you're normally in? Because on my side, I got you loud and clear. Over here, where I'm at, I got you loud and clear.
I can't hear you, but guess what? As long as you can hear me, fine. You can hear me, fine. But, you know, that NFL is an amazing game. Pete Rozelle wanted this game to be everybody be 8-8. So, you know, teams win a Super Bowl next year, they can be last. They can last place team could be in the playoffs and go deep. But the thing with my man Kirk Cousins is he's not going to be that easy because he want to get paid. That's the way it is in the NFL. A lot of teams say, wait 2 or 3 years. I had a good year. I want to get paid because they know that, you know, that life is not that long. So people will be going after Kirk Cousins. Now they can put a franchise tag on it and stop him from going somewhere. But, you know, that can come back to haunt you, you know, next year because you might decide to go somewhere else. So,
with
I mean, you never know until March. You'll know when people – beg your pardon?
I said with the success he had with the Redskins.
He'll go anywhere with his money. You got to understand, he's been dogged in this town for a while. Agents don't forget that. Players don't forget that. Okay, he thought that they pulled him last year when he made a lot of mistakes. You know, that's a coach's decision. I don't get into that. But he had a great year. People didn't expect him to have a great year. And now him and RG's 3 contract is up because both of them came in the same time. So he wants to get paid. And as far as RG3 is concerned, somebody will pick him up as a backup. He's not going to go in as a starter. But what he needs to do, he's got to learn how to, you know, learn. He got to hit the books and learn how to read defenses, keep his feet under control, not running around, because teams are not going to accept that. They want guys that can stand that pocket and throw the ball. If they get in trouble, you know, you can use your feet to get out of trouble, but not use your feet to be running up and down the field. If you look at the quarterbacks in the NFL, you just look at them. Russell Wilson is a pocket quarterback. Cam Newton is a pocket quarterback. The only time they run is when they really have to. They can stand in the pocket and throw 3 or 4 touchdowns a week if they have to. So that's what he needs to do. He's got to hit the books because he came out of a spread offense. You know, he came out of a situation where he never had a playbook. And like I said on the show before plenty of times, that in my opinion, if I had a son that was a 5-star quarterback, I wouldn't send him to Baylor, Texas. I wouldn't send him anywhere. The only place I send him is a college team that runs an NFL-type offense. Because if you don't, you're going to rude awakening. What did you say?
I said, do you think with it thus far that he now knows those things, or do you think he still?
No, see, it's not about know this and know that. It's about repetition and work. You can sit on the bench all you want, but unless you out there working, repetition, 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 you know, looking at films, repetition, That's where you get better. You can't sit around on the, you know, on the bench. And a lot of quarterbacks, if you've been in the pro system, you can look and understand and run the offense. But if you have been sitting on the bench and each year you've gotten worse in the pocket, then you got a lot of work to do, because he's not going anywhere as a starter. He's going to be a backup. And if he becomes a backup, if the first string quarterback gets hurt, he got a short hook. He got to go in there and make something happen fast. And if he don't make things happen, he's out. And then people say, well, they don't like him because he's black. And I don't get into that crap. I don't care what color you are. If you can win in the NFL, them owners and general managers, they want you. So you can't look at that. But he's been in four years, and people just don't understand the NFL is a business. It ain't about we love you and we will keep giving you a chance. He's been in the league 4 years. You know, a lot of quarterbacks been in the league 4 years. You know what they call him? They call him a bust. They keep looking at what he did 2012. People need to get that out of their head. That is over and done with. He killed people with the read option. He fooled a lot of teams. Kaepernick in San Francisco, they fooled a lot of teams with that running around read option. But you got to stay in the pocket. You know, Cam Newton threw a lot of touchdowns this year. He also ran, but he's in the pocket. Russell Wilson threw a lot of touchdowns. So, you know, can they run? Absolutely. But when you read the first option, not there, you read the second and third option. But if you read the first option and you see the rush coming, you start looking at the rush, when you look up, you don't know where the receivers are. So that's something that he really has to concentrate. He has to really sit in that pocket and learn how to read defenses and not worry about the rush. Now, as he gets better, he'll know how to maneuver his feet. You know, when the rush comes, he'll know how to step up or step to the side. See, it's all about footwork in the pocket. And that's the things he needs to learn. He needs to learn anticipation. He needs to get rid of the ball when the man breaks open. You know, before he breaks open, he has to get rid of the ball. He's got to read, not only read defense, but he got to read line protection. He calls line protection. If he calls the wrong line protection, guess what? If he gets sacked, guess what? It's not the offensive line fault. It's his fault. He called line protection. You know, right. People don't realize, they think that the coach called line protection. The quarterback comes in line. That's why they be pointing and looking and all that. That's not for show. That's for real. He's calling people out. Where to block people? Who's a hot man coming there? If he makes a mistake, you know, and they come after him, he's going to have to adjust, make adjustments to throw the ball. And sometimes you got to take a sack. You don't see him falling down. He's always moving, trying to make something happen. It doesn't work. Take a sack. Fall down. Uh-huh. And he got to learn how to protect himself. Because when the rush is coming, he never ducks. He's always standing straight up. And when they hit him, that's why he flies everywhere. You know, his feet one way, you know, because it's a lot that he got to learn. And it's not anybody's fault. It's not anybody's fault. But what it is he got to sit and really work with his skills, because guess what? Quarterbacking is an instinct. And right now he don't have good instincts. And you develop instincts out of the program you come out of. It's not that he can't develop instincts. The problem is you cannot send a man to a college like Baylor who runs a spread offense and they run around and you don't have a playbook. That can work in college. In the pros, linemen, linebackers, defensive backs, they're too fast, too quick. He could outrun people in college. You can't outrun nobody in the pros. They'll track you down. Cam Newton is big and strong, but they track him down. You know, don't care who it is. You know, Michael Vick, they tracked him down. You know, he had concussions, they'd hurt. Because I don't care how bad or how good or how fast you are, if you don't understand what you're doing in that pocket, you're in trouble. Now, Michael Vick, you know, speaking of man, Michael Vick was a very effective quarterback for a period of time in the NFL, because guess what? He ran a lot, but he also had some pocket awareness. He came out of Virginia Tech. So it's about, and now he's old, he can't run anymore. So, you know, he's pretty good in the pocket, but nobody trusts him, you know, to throw the ball 30 times a game because, you know, he's going to make some mistakes. So, you know, quarterback is the hardest position in the world to play. Quarterback is the hardest position in the world to play. You got to be so smart. You got to have instincts. You got to have good footwork. You got to have a decent arm. There's so many things you got to analyze and process information so fast. You can't think. You just got to react.
All
the
right.
Playbook is about 1,000 plays. You know, with options, you might have 5,000 plays in a book, with all kind of options. I mean, that is not easy. And people that look at the game say, oh, the quarterback, all he got to do is this, all he got to do is that. It's not an easy game for a quarterback. But Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Drew Brees, they make it look easy, but it's not easy.
Oh, yeah.
And you're constantly getting hit. You break it up. What did you say?
I said I know it's a brutal game out there, even though it's not like the 1950s.
You're right.
Right. The NFL is a brutal game, right? It's a very brutal game, and it's hard to play in the NFL, especially the quarterback. It's very hard. And you're going to see a lot of people going to different teams, so don't be surprised. I'm not surprised about anybody leaving, you know. People are mad at Kirk Cousins right now because he didn't hurry up to sign. Well, he got an agent. He's going to listen to his agent. He's going to try to get all the money he can. He won about $17 million a year.
Oh, wow.
The Redskins, I don't know if they're willing to give that. I don't know if they're willing to give him that, but somebody will give it to him.
Man.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
when RG3 goes, he's going to probably sign for the minimum wage.
Because nobody's going to pay him $16 million a year. Because he would have been traded by now. But nobody's going to touch that salary. He got to renegotiate. So,
yeah.
You know.
What do you think about the Lamar Miller?
He's a great linebacker. Oh, yeah, he's a great linebacker. He's going to ask for a lot of money.
Yeah,
he's a linebacker. I don't think he's the best linebacker in the NFL, but I think he's one of the best pass rushing linebackers in the NFL. He might be the top one, but overall linebacker, I don't think he's the best. But that's just opinion, because a lot of other people say this and that. A lot of people never heard of Von Miller before this year, because he had been hurt. But he's a linebacker. He's quick. He's quick as a defensive back. That's why big boys can't block him. But, you know, in that game, they didn't spread him out. They didn't have him doing any, covering a lot of passes, putting people in the slot, chipping him. They just let him just run rampant. And that's what happened.
All right.
But when he comes up, he's going to demand a lot of money. You watch.
Oh, yeah. It's tough.
He's been hurt before, so people taking that into consideration, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not a game.
Yeah.
Not a game.
We got to pay the bills because we got my man coming on, Mark Martin.
Oh, yeah. So we'll be right back.
We'll be coming next.
Yes, we'll be right back with our next guest.
Okay. Stay tuned, everybody.
Greetings are characterized by a strong desire that you go out of your way to satisfy, usually as a result of stress and or emotion.
I'm in the building. I tried to get him on the line. I'm going to try again. We'll be back, man. We have our first guest for the night.
You got excuses, folks. We're from different locations tonight, and Bob, I don't hear you very clear. So, you know, I'm trying to make out what you said. So if you ask me a question, I didn't understand the whole sentence or whatever because you're breaking up. But we're back. The show must go on.
yeah, so what I'm attempting to do here is get your boy on line. We can talk to him.
Mark Martin?
Yeah. So.
Is he on yet?
Nah, he's not on yet. I'm going to give him a try a couple more times. Let's see how it's going here.
To him not too long ago.
Yeah. Just telling me that there's no answer. But yeah, man, I really wonder what the combine gonna be like this year. Who's coming out the league, you know, who's coming out of college into the football scene.
We try to get in touch with Mark, so we're gonna try again. Maybe another time we're gonna try again. But let me tell you about this guy Mark. He's an outstanding coach. At Wilson. They have an outstanding quarterback. The quarterback that he has is doing a great job. They went to the championship last year. They lost. But guess what? They're always in the thick of it. And that's all you ask for. Are you in the playoffs? Are you always in the thick of it? And I think Mark has done an outstanding job. You know, as a player, he was a good player. You know, he started the explosion. A minor league football team, good success. He's been assistant coach. He's been around for a long time. So we really like to get him on the show. You know, maybe we had a bad connection, but if you can, try to get him again, see what's up.
Definitely will. How am I sounding over there to you?
Try again. He's probably got a bad connection. Try to call him again.
I don't know why I'm having this bad connection, man.
Mark, if you're out there, you call the show. You call the show. Call it me.
Wow. All right. So I guess he heard that. Give him the number. You know, 9929-477-2975. Tell him that you go ahead and, you know, give us a call.
Hello. Hello. He got a bad connection. The number's not coming through, so he's going to call the show.
All right, perfect. You gave him the number.
Yeah, awesome. but it's a bad connection on your – I don't know what's going on, but it's a bad connection on your side. But
I don't know why it's on my side, because, like, everything is good. Like, all of the connections are great. I can hear you fine, but I'm not sure why you can't hear me.
Well, he's called in now, so if you get it, we'd like to get him on there because time, and we really want to talk to him.
Oh, yeah. So I'm waiting for the caller to come in. Let's stop. Hey, welcome to the show, Mr. Mark.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
Man, I'm sorry about the back of that. Hey, Mark, we're at different places tonight. So he's kind of breaking up a little bit, but I can understand you clear, and we wanted to make sure you have you on the show because, you know, special guest, you like a lot of others we had on the show, you know, I respect you. As a football coach, as a man, you've done a great job. You got that great quarterback in Wilson. He's still going to be around. You had the explosion. You were a good cornerback when you played. I mean, only thing I can say about you is, hey, you're on a roll. You're doing a great job. You're doing an absolutely good job. With the championship loss, but guess what? You're in the hunt. You'll be back. So, Mark, welcome to the show. What I'd like to ask you, just tell me about your journey, how you got started, where you played football at. Just tell us the whole nine yards.
Well, you know, growing up, I played, with number 6 Boys Club, where, you were coaching there. Number 6. Yeah, can you hear me? Number 6 Police Boys Club.
Yeah.
I started there.
Yeah.
With Mr. Spurlock. I played with him. Then I went on played at Wilson and Morgan State. And then once I finished that, I played semi-pro football, man. I played football from 1974 to 2004. I started coaching at Wilson.
How did you?
Yeah, I started coaching at Wilson in 99. Coach Horace Fleming, who was my head football coach,
great coach.
I asked him, he told me he needed some help. So I always wanted to coach at my alma mater. I came back and been there ever since until he retired and handed me the job in 2011. And, we've been trying to build since then. You know, we always had a good program, but, you know, once I took over, we always had a good coaching staff, too. Once I took over, I had to bring in – I had coaches there with me, but I had to bring in some – I had to get that coaching staff together. You know, once any program that you're trying to build, you gotta have a good coaching staff. So I had, when I first started, my defensive coordinator, he had been there with me. He was a kid that played at Wilson too. Rock Hayes, he was my defensive coordinator, and I also had Stacy Turner, who was my offensive coordinator. So Rock continued to be coordinator until last year because he became assistant principal. So administrators in that position, they couldn't coach. So I had to bring in somebody else, but I had I put a coaching staff together, and one of the best things I did is when I brought in Maurice Vaughn, one of my close friends, Maurice Bink Vaughn. He's my offensive coordinator now, and Stacy Turner helps him out. Stacy is the quarterback coach. They both work with Stevie Williams Jr., my quarterback.
That's a bad dude.
Yeah, we've been building, but I had to start with my coaching staff. What we've been doing over the last 5 years, it wouldn't have been possible if it wasn't for my coaching staff. They put in a lot of work. They got to deal with me. I can't be sometimes I'm not the easiest person to deal with.
When it comes to
coaching, but I also I don't have no problem with taking constructive criticism from my coaches. I evaluate them and I don't have no problem with them evaluating me because that's just gonna make me better. But the school has been backing us. They let me bring in a couple of players over the years, man. We had Abdul Adams, we had Kareem McDonald, we had Donovan Ferguson, Kenny Holmes. Now we have some kids that we were real young last year. I got Stevie Williams, my quarterback, Sean Savoy. Sean made first team All Met this year. We got a supporting cast, Michael Galloway, Markel Morris, Caleb Coleman. Last year on that team we lost in the championship to HD, we had like 41 JV kids that we had brought up. And, the kids play well. HD, like, Coach, I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah. I looked at those kids. I knew they were young. But how many coaches do you have? You got a lot of coaches.
I have about 9 or 10. I have position coaches. And I have about 9 or 10 coaches. I'm hoping to go ahead.
Huh?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Tell me about that quarterback.
Stevie, man, Coach Stevie came as in the ninth grade. He's been with us since he was a ninth grader. Stevie, he was probably, I always joke with him, he was 5'9", maybe 150 pounds in the ninth grade. He's 6'3 and a half. They weighed him the other day. He's 6'3 and a half, 197. Man, he's just been progressing every year, getting better. You know, he, to me in the ninth grade, he probably was he had the better arm than my senior, but my senior was just smarter. He was smarter. He made better decisions at that time. But now, honestly, I think Stevie is the number one quarterback in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. The kid works hard. He studies. He'll stand in that pocket. And if he got to get out that pocket and run, he can do it. But we just trying to coach Bink and Coach Stacy, what they're doing, they're trying to just work on him standing in that pocket, going through his progressions and making the right read. And if he continues to get better and he does that, he's gonna be playing on Sunday.
I tell you this, he got a fastball too. I've seen him throw the ball at Box. You don't see this kid throw the ball. I mean, he got a gun. I mean, you look at a lot of high school kids, they develop in college, the arm get better, but he has got a fastball. I've seen him. He can throw the ball. He seems like he's more mature beyond his age because I've seen him, he just stand in that pocket and he gets rid of that ball and he looks so poised. He's not a jittery type, you know, and he's only in 11th grade, right?
Yeah, he's an 11. He's a junior. He'll be a senior next year. You know, we looking forward to big things for him next year. You know, we play Blue twice. We play Blue twice next year, and then we gotta play Woodson over at Woodson. You know, Woodson's always gonna be tough. They're well coached. Blue and Woodson, they're well coached. So we're gonna have a. We got a tough schedule next year, but we got some kids, man. That kid Sean Savoy, I got, man. He's a special kid. He's a special
kid. Is he
a kid.
Kendall Savoy? Is he in
you know,
Kendall Savoy?
You know, all of them Savoy's probably some Kent. You know, but yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, I got Savoys in my family, so all of them Savoy's probably some Kent.
Oh yeah, I had a Savoy on last about 2 weeks ago.
all of them boys probably some kid, man. But that kid, that's a special kid. I'm gonna tell you too. You know what I try to do. I try to let my coaches coach. You know, everything that's ran on that field comes through me. But I let my coaches coach, man. I brought in a couple coaches last year, Marvin Jackson, my defensive coordinator, and you know John Marlowe, that's my linebacker coach. You know Marlowe.
You got my man Marlowe. I'm having him on the show.
Marlowe
with his crazy self. That's my main man, Marlowe.
Yeah, man, Marlowe has been around me for 30 years, man, and I just try to bring people around that I trust, and if I'm not doing something right, I don't have no problem with them coming to me and say, man, I think we need to do this. Let's try this. You know, I'm just so happy. I got a good coaching staff and a great group of kids and a heck of a school that backs me.
You know what? All that goes together because, man, you got a lot of places that school don't back them or they don't have good coaches. Because I'm gonna tell you the truth, it's hard to find real good coaches that really apply themselves or go to clinic because you got a lot of guys. They just say, I want to coach. They watch TV. They play PlayStation or whatever you call it, and they think that's about coaching. But you got some guys on there that I respect, right? I've seen them in action. And, you know, the first time you played Woodson, you beat them, and you lost them in the championship game. So guess what? That really means that you got a team. It ain't like you got blown out by Winston. You beat Winston the first time. I think didn't the quarterback throw three touchdowns or something like that?
Yeah, but I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna tell you something, Coach. And you know, I'm a realist when it comes to this. Winston came out with a great game plan in a championship game, and they executed. They jumped on us early, like we were jumping on everybody. And once Stevie got hurt, you know, we tried to come back, but you know, the lead was too much. They built that lead on us too much.
Yeah, but see, you're a hell of a coach, because you said, you know, they had a good game plan. You know, a lot of people make a lot of excuses. Oh, they this and they cheated this and that. But see, that's what makes you a good coach. You understand the game plan they put together, and guess what? You're going to be ready for them, because you know what? They've never been on that stage before, some of them guys. And I look at them guys come in halftime. Man, you got some young faces on that team. I mean, some young boys.
I mean, they were real young. How many seniors did you got? I only lost four seniors.
Oh,
two of them were starters. The whole defense, is back. The whole offense, except for my right guard and my right tackle. I mean, my left guard, my left tackle are back, and we got some young kids. Who were playing? They weren't playing a lot, but they were learning and observing, man. And you know, we're gonna have probably about 16 to 20 linemen next year. So yeah, I think we should be fine. But if it starts. What I tell everybody, it starts with the line. If we have dominant line play, I feel we can beat anybody. But I remember you used to preach that all the time. You know what? I try to take bits and pieces from all the coaches that I've been around, like you, Coach Fleming, Abdul's, Azar's father, Coach Raheem.
Yeah.
He coached me. Even Charles McGriff, man. All these, I talk to McGregor all the time. I talk to a lot of guys, and I try to talk to them just so I can pick their head, so I can put pieces and pieces together to make me a better coach. I always tell my coaches, man, if you feel you can't study no more, it's no need for you to coach. You know, you always got to keep learning. You always got to try to get better.
You got to keep learning. But you know what? Like I talked, my team, the first thing I've got is big linemen that can run, because you could have the best quarterback, you can have receivers running, all that stuff is good. But if you ain't got an offensive defensive line that can go get the passes and can protect the quarterback and run, then you have a problem. So you understand that, you know.
Yeah.
And you got so many of them guys coming back, and I know they're in the weight room.
Oh yeah, we've been in the weight room. We've been in the weight room since January, man. I even went out. I even got a personal trainer, man, to come in to train my kids. But I got a couple of my kids that train with Sean Washington. He calls himself the Monster Maker, man. He gets some kids in tip top shape. You know, me and Sean had disagreements sometimes, but we, you know, me and him on the same page again. And man, he, you know, I can't take nothing from him, man. He's a heck of a trainer. He works out. He trains them kids, man. He gets them in tip-top shape. I finally got a trainer that used to play at Wilson. One of my kids I coached, and he personal trains, and he do speed training and everything, so he comes in on Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, and trains the kids. We gotta get stronger at the line. But we gotta get stronger up front on that line.
They gonna get strong. And another thing, they're older. A lot of things people don't realize is as you get older, you're getting closer to being a man. You're gonna get strong anyway, but you're gonna be real strong when you work out. You're gonna be real strong. So,
you know,
it's about progression.
you know, when I used to listen to you when I was young, and I had some things I took, I took from you as far as the secondary, and that's what I'm doing now. If I can get 6 or 7 guys that can cover in that secondary, I can do anything I want to up front.
Yeah.
You know,
especially if you get somebody in the spot, you know,
yeah.
Or if they go 4 wide, they usually go 3. But you're absolutely right. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
You're deep as a back. I mean, come on, you play the game, you know what's going on.
Yeah,
you played it.
Yeah.
So, but tell me about the explosion, because for a long time you still own the explosion, right?
Yeah, I still have the explosion. We probably, you know, I took it. You know, when I started being a head coach, you know, I had turned, you know, I was letting Griff, Coach Griff, and Arthur K, you know, they've been running it. But we took off for a year. I wanted to take off for a year because I wanted to get it right. So we're going to come back in the fall. Right now, honestly, I think DC Explosion, I think we're the only team in the country that has a player in the NFL right now, Greg Toler. He plays with the Indianapolis Colts. He played on the Explosion. So, you know, an Explosion's not going nowhere. It's going to be passed down. When I'm done with it, it's going to be passed down to my daughter and my son. You know, my son, he's probably going to run it. But, you know.
That's the way you run a program, man.
But we just, you know, it's like, you know, when you were coaching, and it'll never be a team like the Bulls. Like, only team I've seen close to the Bulls is maybe that Central Penn team. But it'll never be another team in this area like the Bulls that had all that talent that you had back then.
That's amigo.
Once you stopped, Ron Thomas came and played with us. And I think Ron was like, this was like in maybe 2003, Ron was like 37, man, and every kickoff he got at 37 years old, he was running back for a touchdown.
And he still, and you'll see him now, he still can run. I mean, he still looks the same.
He still looked the same. I saw him. It's just so many teams now. Everybody in the area, everybody has a team instead of all the semi-pro coaches in D.C. putting their pride aside, getting one team and one or two teams, A or B team, and competing. If we did that, we'll be probably competing with all the top teams in the country.
But see, the problem is they don't want to come together because I want to be the head coach. This one is going to be the head coach. See, it's the ego thing. But I tell you, if you just put all the teams together and weed out some of the lesser players, you can put a 45-man squad together, and you can do a lot of damage around the country. But the point is, like you said, you got to put the egos aside. And then you got a lot of guys on these teams. They really, first of all, a lot of them don't have discipline. Players do what they want to do, you know, come when they want to come. I don't lift weights, you know, that kind of crap. And if you just weed those people out and get the ones that are serious, You could have outstanding team in this city, you know.
Yeah, you will. Yes, you will.
But a lot of people, they just, you know, it's all about I'm in charge and I want to have a team and this and that, you know.
Always,
just like I coach.
Somebody getting mad. Someone's getting mad, so they get mad because they're not playing, so they go start their own team. You know, in a 10 mile radius now, we probably have 10 to 15 teams.
It's a lot of teams. I remember when I coached at Woodson and Friendship, I said, how can you be an assistant coach? Let me tell you something. If you're going to be a leader, you got to be able to follow. So guess what? Being an assistant coach somewhere, that's nothing to my ego. You know, but a lot of people, man, how could you do that? Why could I do it? It's just a job, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, I would love to come up to help you out. But, man, football has passed me by. I ain't been in no clinics, you know.
But you still, you know,
it's so old school, the kids won't understand what I'm saying.
it's still the same. It's just different. You know, it's still the same technique. It's probably, they just call it different, you know. That's all it is. But you know, no matter what, you still got a bunch of football knowledge in you, and you know, we are everybody out here. We always got to try to pick your brain, because you full of knowledge.
Yeah, well, I tell you one thing, you full of knowledge too. So you turn that program around. You got some teams around that's still not doing that well, but you did a great job, man. Absolutely.
I appreciate it. We got 50 on the JV. We try to build. The last couple of years, we couldn't bring no kids in because we were overcrowded. You know, our old principal, Mr. K. Hall. You know, our old principal, Mr. K. Hall. He played football in college, so he's the backers. But now he was a good principal, great principal. But I have another principal now. Her name is Kimberly Martin, and she's fantastic, man. She's fiery, she's tough, man. She plays sports, so she's backing us. She backing us 100%, man. So you know, we're trying to build within. With the JV, and each year try to have we probably have like 120 kids in our program, and we're just trying to keep building.
That's what I like, Chris. And you know what? We got 50 kids on JV. Man, that's a program.
Yeah, we're trying. You know,
run the program.
You know, I call it all the time. I talk to Mike Hunter all the time. You know, I talk to Coach Kenny. Talk to Coach Kenny all the time. I pick everybody's brain. Let me tell you something too. I even talk to some like my office coordinator. What I try to tell people, my office coordinator, he was coaching at Beacon House at first. You know, and people when I first brought him on, people kept saying, "Oh, you gonna bring a Pop Warner coach?" But I'm gonna say something, and I hope whoever's listening. Some of these Pop Warner coaches out here study more than these regular coaches here. When I go to these coaches' clinics, the Pop Warner coaches are there at every clinic.
Absolutely.
You know, some of them, man, they trying to get better. They trying to move up. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I know other coaches in Marshall Heights, right? I had one of them in junior high. Them guys were shooting at the games when they were in junior high school.
Yeah.
Luke and popping them. I mean,
That's why their kids be so good when they leave there.
Yeah. We had a lot of them in friendship. They're everywhere, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they do a great job. They do, and see, I know these guys personally. So I know they coach. But you know what?
I know Mook. They prepare those kids. You got, you know, Keith Bullock is over there too.
Yeah, he played for me. I mean, he coached with me.
Yeah.
So you know, he's my receiver coach. So in DC, you know, it's a small town. Everybody knows who's who, right? And that's what it's all about. It's about, you know, everybody conversing, trying to learn stuff. Man, I be talking to the old guys that coach. I still talk to Bob Hayes, my coach, at Cadoga and Woodson. You know, I still talk to them. I ask them questions. That's what it's about. If you think you know everything, like you said, you need to stop coaching.
Yeah.
You know, I remember one time, Bullock, I called time out, and Bullock said, I said, I'm looking at the sheet trying to find out what to run. But I say, to run this. And I said, that's a good idea. I said, especially if it works, I'm going to take all the credit because I'm the head coach. He started laughing. Scored a touchdown. I said, Bullock, I told everybody, see how smart I am? Bullock started laughing.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of people don't understand, too, that everything, when you're a head coach, everything that happens, positive or negative.
It's
going to come back on the coach, on the head coach.
That's right. Yeah, they won't hear about no assistant coach. And the players.
They don't want to hear.
You lose. That's right. And that's the way it is in the pros.
Yeah.
In college.
Hello?
Hey, man. In college, same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, my man Mark, I'm so glad to have you on the show. We got another guest coming on, man. But we're gonna have We're going to have a big show. We're going to have all the guests that we had on before, and we're going to have a round table discussion. We're going to talk. But I'm glad you're on the show. I'm glad you came. I should have got you earlier, but we had so many people coming on. I'm trying to
get No problem. I'm just glad you gave me an opportunity to be on the show. And tell my man Malcolm, I said, what's up, man?
Yeah, okay.
Okay,
man,
appreciate it, man. Coach. Thank you.
Talk to you. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was my man, Mark Martin. And we have Malcolm on next.
Great show. Yeah, Mr. Pippen, how you doing?
Good guy. Malcolm on.
I'm here, bro.
Let me tell you about this guy. Let me tell you something about Malcolm. Malcolm, my man, Malcolm Pittman. Guess what? Malcolm came. I mean, he was a legend in Maryland and big-time football player with the University of Virginia. I mean, played at University of Virginia. Hey, man, he earned his stripes. He came with the Bulls. When he came to me, he was up in age. But guess what? Good team player. Understood the game. Used to give advice. Third down back. Man, I always respected him. I say, if I have a show, I'm always going to have him on because this man knows the game. He really knows the game. He don't talk a lot of trash and so you know and this and that and brag, but I'm telling you something. He's one hell of a football player, and he's a hell of a person, too. So how you doing, man?
Brooks, I'm fine. I don't know who that guy was just talking about, but if I was him, I'd be appreciative.
He's talking about you.
I'm just kidding.
You
man.
Hey, Brock, this guy played for me. This guy, Malcolm, man, I have a lot of respect for him. Malcolm, glad you can come on the show, man. We've been having some difficulties with the, you know, we have some static going on because we're in different locations. Tell everybody about you.
Where you want me to?
Start when you start playing football, elementary, junior high, whatever. Just tell us what's going on.
Okay. Like Brooke said, I'm from Baltimore, Maryland, and I started the game really, really young. But when I started out learning before I started playing. No one ever really taught me to play football. I observe things and then I put them into effect. Natural talent, but I had guys around me who told me that a smart athlete can be the dumb athlete any day. So,
right.
On day one, I decided I was going to learn how to play the game, and if I could that with immense physical talent, I'd be pretty much unstoppable. So my journey started at about 8 years old, and I was the ball boy for a high school football team. And my family moved into the neighborhood where Morgan State was. So I've been training with college and high school teams since I was
Hello? Did we lose him?
He's saying that he's still here with us.
Did we lose him?
He's still here with us. Yeah, the call was dropped. I'll call him back.
He called him back. He lost it. I hope Malcolm's not in the woods somewhere.
Brooks, you back?
Yeah, we here.
Okay. All right. But so I was saying I was a track phenom before I was a recognized football player. So you know I always had speed, but I decided I wanted to learn how to be the most complete athlete that I could be. So I watched guys and. You could never get me away from team sports, you know. I would go around, I hung around. I lived in the neighborhood with Baltimore Colts and Baltimore Orioles. And at that time, those guys were accessible to you. You know, they lived in the neighborhood. So you know, I learned from them as well. But at about 12 years old, I got an opportunity to go to private school. And there were two schools that were kind of bidding for my services. It's Calvin Hall and McDonough. And Calvin Hall told me they were going to give me a partial scholarship because they liked one of my classmates a little bit better. You know, I told him no thanks. Yeah, I told him no thanks, and I went on to McDonough, and that's where kind of the legend began. I tell the kids that I coach now, I got hurt my first game in high school football. We were playing Good Counsel, and I broke my elbow. So I missed the whole year. Yeah, I broke my elbow, and the whole year. And so the next, that was ninth grade, first game ever in high school.
Okay.
So came back the next year, you know, everybody was expecting me to be on varsity. And my high school made the biggest decision of my life and the one I'm most thankful for. He kept me on JV another year, and he said, I want you to learn to be the man. You know, so I stayed back on JV, and I rushed for over 2,000 yards.
Wow.
So I came. You know, I physically wasn't ready to play varsity football either because I was still only about 145 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, but that decision by my high school coach gave me an opportunity to be great, not just be good. It got me. Not only did it make me a better player, it made me hungry. So I went from a JV player to the first team all match the next year, and then the following year I was playing again in the third state in the high school All American after that.
And that's what you tell you with that award you got with O.J. Simpson that giving you that award.
Yeah, that award that I received from O.J. Other guys who received that award that year were Zach Ewing, Chris Pollard, H.B. Green, Walter Downing, and a host of other top-flight Division I athletes. You know, so that award puts you in great company. It's not given out, you know, freely. It's earned. So that's probably the thing I'm most proud of in my athletic career, winning that award.
Because
the year before Herschel had won it, and the year after Marcus had won it.
Oh, yeah? Well, that's a senior year. How many yards did you get? How many touchdowns did you score?
A little over 1,600 yards, but I only carried the ball 100. I said I rushed for 1,600 yards, but I only carried the ball 115 times.
115
shots.
You got 1,500
yards.
You must have been
good
at halftime.
My coach never believed in running up the score on teams because he said one day you'll be in that same position. And he doesn't want any animosity. So his objective was to win the game.
Okay.
You know, Bobby.
What's the name of that award you got from O.J. Simpson?
That was the Hurst number one award. It was given to the top athlete in every state, regardless of sport.
Wow. Man, that's some deep stuff, boy. That's deep. So I know you had a million scholars. When you left high school, first of all, how much did you weigh when you left high school?
When I left high school, I weighed 170 pounds. And I played at UVA at 178 pounds the whole time.
Okay, so you had a lot of colleges after you. How did you wind up at the University of Virginia?
Yeah, I wound up at Virginia because they had two small times, Frank Sanders and John Vitorino. And they were one of the few schools that didn't try to change me from a running back to either wide out or a defensive back.
Okay.
And people in my school's administration had gone to UVA, and they impressed upon me, you know, the connections that you can make for life after football. So that decision was, what are the games after school? You know, because as I tell kids, there are camp misses who miss, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah, you break it up a little bit. You break it up a little bit.
Let me see if I can.
Okay.
Is that better?
So,
Brooks, is that better?
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, that's better. Go ahead.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, my UVA experience wasn't what I expected it to be, but it was a great experience nonetheless. You know, I got there, I was the starter at the end of my freshman year, and lo and behold, we switched coaches. And we brought in George Welsh, and he was, you know, he was used to big slow back, so he decided he wanted to make a change. And he made me a kick returner. And I ended up beating the ACC in kick returns for my last 3 years.
You know what? That happens to a lot of ball players.
It does.
And you just help them. There's nothing you
right.
really can do.
Well, and the thing is, though, Brooks, but the thing he didn't tell me until 20 years later is the reason that he moved me from the backfield, you know, primarily was – he just didn't trust anybody else with the kicking game, you know, and he had other backs who could suffice. You know, I was there. It was our backfield was me, Barry Word, and another guy named Howard Petty. And he felt like they could do a sufficient job, but nobody else could handle the kicking game, you know. But as a 17, 18, 19-year-old, you know, that's not what you want to hear, you know, but he never told me that. But I told him, I said, if you had explained that to me when I was that age, I would have had no problem because I love football. You had not a minute's trouble out of me. You know, as long as I knew where I stood. You know, the thing I couldn't understand is why all week I was the first team back and come to the game, I'm now a specialist, you know. So I was a little bitter about that for a while, but my love of football, you know, carried me through.
Yeah.
But you know, I learned, and it was the greatest experience of my life. You know, just learning football at that level, and learning about life at that level. Yeah. You know?
Let me ask you: did you break off some big games against some teams?
Well, you know, I mean, most everybody, you know, my most famous run happened at the University of Maryland. I took one back 97 yards. And being a Maryland kid playing against the hometown team, that was, you know, all my friends and family at the stadium. It was a great moment. Yeah. So, you know, I did my thing.
Yeah, but did Maryland come after you?
Maryland did, but you know, if you know anything about Jerry Claiborne at that time, he wasn't very Afro-American friendly, and I didn't want to go through that. So I didn't even give Maryland a look because they had a couple other kids from Baltimore who I knew could flat out play, and they weren't seeing the field at all.
Yeah, you know, Maryland has not been friendly to a lot of hometown guys.
Yeah.
A lot of different occasions.
Yeah, but Brooks, I'm gonna tell you the most fun I've had in football is though is playing with you because you were a motivator. You know, everybody asked. They said, "How was Brooks as a coach?" I said, "He didn't have to coach. He motivated us. When he opened his mouth before the game and upset the other team, we had no choice but to go out and play football."
But I tell you, I'm so glad to have you on the team, man. Because guess what? Man, hey, knowledge and experience, man. I mean, hey, guess what? Hey, you're one of my favorites. That's really
and it's continued to this day, though, Brooks. But kids these days, they don't learn the game. You know, they don't learn what their role is with the other 10 people on the team. You know, I could tell you what the guard did, what the tackle did, where the wide receiver was coming. Because how am I going to know what cut to make down the field if I don't know where my help is coming from.
That's right.
You know, so now, you know, a lot of times you look at backs and you think, oh, man, he got eyes in the back of his head and this and that. But it's not that. It's that he knows what the blocking scheme really entails.
Right.
So he's down. He's looking for that block, and he's making that cut on faith, knowing that he's going to pick up a block. Yeah.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Because you get a lot of people, they only know their position. But you know what? If you ask about other positions, that's one thing I hate. I think everybody should know what's going on. That old kind of stuff about I just know where I'm supposed to go. That's the little boys' club stuff.
Right, that's boys' club, exactly. Yeah, and that's what holds back so many athletes from progressing to the next level is that they don't study the game. You know, you got a little kid who's hungry. He in the film room all day long, and he don't make mistakes. So, of course, the coach gonna put him on the field. You know, because he's not gonna embarrass you. He might not make that spectacular play, but he's gonna make the mundane play 9 out of 10 times. It's gonna help you continue to move the ball down the field, or stop a team from moving it down the field.
Hey, Doc, when you left Virginia, did you get any pro looks, or did anybody give you any work?
What happened is Welsh put me off the team for a year, so I missed my original draft class, and I came back, and I made the USFL, and then the Baltimore Stars folded. So I ended up, I went over, I started playing. I played for the Chambersburg Cardinals. I mean, you've been in minor league football, you know, so I played for the best teams that you can get to, you know. It wasn't like now with semi-pro football where kids are basically glorified high school players. Minor league football at that time, you were getting a look, you know. So I went to the Giants. Then I ended up playing overseas in Italy. And then I was just, I had gotten it out of my blood, and I came back here. You know, I still play till today, and I just love the game. But that Metro Bulls experience was, I mean, it was wonderful.
You were the oldest
guy
on the team, though. You were the oldest guy. You were Jesuit.
Yeah, I was. And, you know, like you said, when I started, I'm not a guy who talks a lot of trash, so people didn't respect my game as much as, you know, I knew it needed to be respected. But as when we had our 20th reunion, as Chuck said, right, I know you did. Yeah, but these
people want to say it.
Right, you know, we never had to change personnel when I was in the game. You know, we could go from two backs to four wides without making a substitution. You know, so that allowed us to do so many different things on the field, you know.
Yeah.
But that team, we were loaded, though, man. That Metro Bulls team was loaded.
Yeah, there was a lot of talent on the team, a lot of egos, too.
Yeah, it was a lot of egos, but we sacrificed our egos for the will to win. And, you know, what at that time, what was said about D.C. teams, you know, was that they, you know, all you got to do is let them implode. You know, they'll beat themselves.
Yeah,
you know, when I played with Chambersburg, when I played with Harrisburg, you know, I played with Connecticut, we like, man, we going into D.C. All you got to do is stay close. They'll blow themselves up at the end of the game.
You know? Chambersburg used to kill us.
Yep.
They used to kill us, right?
And that Chambersburg team that had nobody on it that looked like nothing.
Yeah. You're right.
But they won 76 straight games, Brooks.
You're right. I know the record.
Yeah.
I played against them 1 year, my last year playing. You know, we battled off that game, that 1 year I played. But I've seen when they come down here and they crushed. I've seen them kill the Buccaneers, get points on them. Because, you know, it's just like when I coach against Baltimore, we down 24-0. In the first quarter, I could have just fell apart and started throwing bombs and stuff. I kept saying, we're going to beat these people. Don't worry about it. If we get down, I went back and we won the game.
Yep.
But typically, most teams would have fell apart.
They would. Most D.C. teams would because they, you know, it has always been about everybody want to shine. They don't want the name on the front to shine. They want the name on the back to shine. Yeah.
That's right.
That's not what it's about.
Yeah, but that Bulls team was finally a culmination of guys who knew football, that were talented, and then wanted to play for each other. You know, having Sam Taylor at the QB, man, you get in this huddle, you better not say a word. You know, I don't care who you were, Sam Taylor ran the show.
Yeah.
You know, so we had a coach who you couldn't get out of line with, a coach on the field that you couldn't get out of line with, so there was no way that we weren't going to be successful.
Well, you know, I appreciate that, but the key to it is that team, you can take 11 people and it replaces 11 people, starters, and it wouldn't miss a beat.
And put their backups in. Right.
Yeah, because, man, I would say it was so much talent, you know, down to third. I didn't even say third straight. I said, man,
right.
we played 17, 18 people a game. I mean, it was like that, right?
I mean, just look at our receiving core. Chesley was no longer a starter the year that we won the championship.
Chesley played about 33 years old. He played with the Redskins in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And he was in reserve at 84.
Right. But, you know, if that guy's not a starter on a team, that tells you how much depth there is.
Because he's a route runner. He can run that route.
But come in on third down, you know you got a first down because can't nobody check his route.
You're right.
Yeah. So, you know, we were just deep, man. You know, you had me at the back, you had Lydell at the back. You know, you got Hodge just crying about time, but where do you play?
Yeah,
you know,
I let it go.
He's
a few people, he just started worrying about time, and when you start crying about time,
it's time for you to go. Right.
Yeah.
But
it wasn't that he couldn't play.
No, it was just that you couldn't play for us. It wasn't exactly, you know. You told them guys when you came there, I'm not taking, if you don't have no pro or college experience, you might as well take a back seat because I need players who understand how to play in crunch time.
You're right. Yeah. And it wasn't hard coaching that thing. It was easy.
No.
Because I didn't have a lot of people. Now, you had Ron want the ball. You know, Eric Steele wanted Willie. Now, you're going to find that, right? But nobody got to the point where it was attention, you know.
Yeah.
And then Sam is under the gun because he got to throw the ball. Sam, I used to get on him. Sam had some of the best hands you can find.
Right.
And it was all in his ear. I mean, it was just, you know, we had some divas on that team, and they wanted the ball. I know you wanted it.
I remember we over Dunbar one night, and Sam, you know, we subbed in Antoine, and he put me at the fullback. I said, no, man, give him a chance to score a touchdown. He was like, no, I want you to score. I was like, man, I done scored enough touchdowns in my life. This is a young kid. This touchdown might make him a great player because it might give him the confidence to know that, hey, man, I can do it at this level, you know? So, you know, it wasn't, man, it ain't never been, for me, it's never been about me, you know. Although I've been, in most places that I go, I've been the best player. I never cared about that because I knew I couldn't do it by myself.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the only way to look at it because, man, you're one of the most high school players around this whole area. I mean,
definitely.
A lot of people not even close to that. And you were humble behind that. That's amazing. You couldn't even come in the room with them.
Yeah, but, you know, I've always been brought up that way, you know, so, I mean, my mom and dad taught me that, hey, what's given to you can be taken away at a moment's notice, so, you know, ain't no need.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I'm telling you, so, man, you know, I always respected you because, team player. You know, a lot of the guys team players, but you think about you always giving advice.
Right.
You ain't, I ain't going to tell him nothing. Man, it was a great situation, right?
Right.
It was almost funny because we won so many games. The first thing I'm looking for people to start head getting big. But, man, you know, I'd be talking so much trash about the other team.
Exactly. So, I remember we were down down Tidewater. I ain't gonna say what you said, but that that was the greatest moment I've ever seen out of a coach. I said, man, ain't no way we going out here to lose this game. This dude done put his rep and his mouth on the line. We got to stand up for him. You know, he believes in us that much. We gotta believe in him.
Yeah, I tell people, I ain't getting hit. Yeah, y'all better stand up because y'all will get hit. Somebody might get hurt.
Right.
But one thing about it is, you step on the field. Some games, you know, we play down to our opponents. But one thing about it is, if all things we do, we gonna win. We know
right.
We gonna win.
Right.
It's almost like I don't care what situation, we gonna win the game. And that big that big huge offensive defensive line. That's the first thing I want to get. You gotta get
right.
them big dogs in front.
Right. You win the game in the trenches.
You're right.
Yeah, you went in the trenches because none of our skilled guys can ever get done what we do if the guys up front don't do their job.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Hey, let me ask you a question. For you, University of Virginia, you had Barry Wirt. I know you had a lot of players that went on to the NFL of that team, didn't you?
We did. You know Lester real well. Lester was my roommate. Lester Lyles was my roommate. Dombrowski. Was my class. Don Mikowski was in during my time.
Oh, you was there?
Yeah. Don Mikowski was there with me for 3 years. And that was the time when we started really putting guys in the pros. You know, my class had 22, 14 of us got pro experience. So you know, it was definitely a good time, and we were the team that turned the University of Virginia's fortunes around. You know, they had been and also ran for, you know, 20-some years prior to our class coming in. And then with Welsh coming in with his knowledge of the game, it took, it took us to another level. You know, it took 1 year for him to get his feet wet. We went 2-10, and then the next time, 2-9, and then next thing you know, we went in a bowl game. So, you know, it was a quick turnaround for him.
Man, that's amazing. Well, tell me, I'm working at a club, right? You're a manager of a club, right?
Yeah, I'm at a place called Bliss now. I've been with these, the restaurant that my family had that where I last saw you, we closed down. We're looking for another venue. So I'm back with the guys I started with. We all started at DC Live together, but Abdul Kadu, he's been around for about 25 years. He was H2O, and he was the other thing on the other side of the street where DC Live was. So you know, we do it. We probably the best thing in town right now. We waiting to open up tonight. We definitely have national artists every week. We'll have Future next Monday night. Had Nas last week. We've had, anybody that's anybody in the game right now will come through here at some point. Had Yo Gotti about 2 weeks ago. We do it pretty well, man. You know, this is what I know how to do. A lot of circles I'm in, they don't understand that I have this other life, you know. As I say, I'm a private school coach. I've been there for 15 years. So my school clientele and my... Huh?
You up there, Cornelius Green, aren't you?
Yeah, me and Cornelius. Cornelius has been there about, I think this Cornelius is about 6th or 7th year.
Yeah.
He mainly works with the lower school programs, though.
Yeah. Hey, I know you can run a club because I've been there.
You've seen my work. I definitely know how to do this.
My coach, he's into music, too. So
okay.
Y'all can hook up deep in the music. He got his own thing, you know, calling out musicians and whatever.
Okay.
But that's great. I mean,
It never hurts the network, though, man. That's why it helps to be in as many circles as possible, man, because anytime you can help somebody, man, you should be trying to, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know.
If you just said that, yeah, man, my eyes got as big as a sun. Well, you said you managed down there, blessed, man. That was, man, you never know who you know what I mean?
I can barely hear you cracking up when you talk.
He's breaking up. That's why he hasn't said much tonight. Because
oh, okay.
But I have to get in touch with you because he's deep into it.
Oh, hey, man, anything I can do to help, I'm more than willing to do, man. That's what I do, you know. You know, everybody yeah. says, they say most people have 6 degrees of separation. All my friends say I have 2 degrees of separation because I touch so many different circles, man. I have friends on Wall Street, and I have friends, as we call in Baltimore, at North Avenue, so... You know, I can relate to anybody. You know, I don't feel like I'm no worse, no better. You know, we all humans trying to get through this daily grind so that, you know, the more people you can relate to, the more friends and more help you can have when things get down.
Yeah. We getting off the blog and try to move to radio. TV, we had a lot of guests. We're gonna have Bob Hedden on next week and Crazy Freddie Wagner.
Yeah, I got to be on with Juice because me and Juice beefing right now, so I want to hear what he got.
Wait a minute. Juice beef with everybody.
I know. You know, Juice is just mad.
You beefing with Juice. That ain't nothing strange. I
know. But he's a good dude, though, Brooks. You know he's a good dude at heart. Sometimes he just don't know how to express himself.
I know.
Yeah, but he's a good dude, man.
Yeah, you're right, man. But, man, I appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Well,
I appreciate
hey, Brooks, I appreciate you having me on. And it's like I said, it was an honor to be on the same night with Mark. Me and Mark go back. You know, we worked in the clubs together for a long time as well. We coach high schools next door to each other. So our paths have been intertwined since we started this game, you know.
Yeah, Mark told me to tell you hi.
Yeah, I heard. I was listening at that point, so I heard him. Yeah.
Yeah,
man.
Mark, so glad. I mean, Malcolm, so glad you're on the show. Appreciate it, man. Glad
hey, when is Sam gonna be on? Because I wanna make sure I hear that one too.
Who you saying?
Sam Taylor.
Sam Taylor, he's been on there.
No, he's been on already.
So he was doing the show, but guess what? He got cut off because he in the mountains.
Right.
And Mark was making fun of me. Oh, you make a left turn in West Virginia, and you be cut off.
Right. And you go down the wrong road.
Yeah, we're going to have Sam back on the show. We're doing pretty good, man. We're just trying to elevate to the radio station from the blog. But we're going to be all right, man.
Yeah, I passed on the site to a whole lot of people who are in the business, and some of them hadn't heard, but hopefully a lot of them tuned in tonight. Excuse me. And you can get a lot more exposure. But, Brooks, you're doing a great job, man. And it's something that, you know, the story of D.C. football has always taken a back seat because this is such a basketball town, you know. But you're doing such a great job to bring it to the forefront. And I've learned so much just looking at your Facebook every day and the posts you put up. Yeah. You know, I never knew Maury Wills was a football player, you know, and that. And then he happened to be the quarterback of our rivals, you know. So, you know, that was knowledge. Anytime you gain any knowledge on any subject, it's a bonus.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah.
His brother was a great athlete, too.
Okay.
I know his brother so well, right? But he should be in the Hall of Fame. That's the fourth of another color, but he should be in the Hall of Fame. You know?
Oh, he definitely should be.
That's the way it is, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about politics and sports.
It is.
Sports, NFL, baseball, and all that, it's a business. It's not a game. It's a business.
Right, it's a business.
It's a business, you know.
Yep. With this new Jesse Owens film coming out, we gonna see the beginning of the politics and sports where it really started. Though, you know, a man raised and took down a whole country through sports.
Yeah, but
you know,
I'll tell you people don't realize Hitler treated him better than Roosevelt did. So,
right.
You know,
right.
It don't, people don't realize.
Well, because he humbled Hitler. You know, he made Hitler look in the. Hitler had no choice because he came to his stage and put on the show.
That's
yeah.
Right.
And the thing is, I can tell you something else I didn't tell you about my early track days. I was, Jesse Owens was a friend of mine because I won, you know, back in those days they had the Jesse Owens meet and I won it 3 times. So I got to know him really well during my youth. Yeah.
Oh, that's something else. That's something else. I met Wilmer Rudolph one time.
Yeah, I met Wilmer Rudolph was my favorite athlete. Brooks.
Yeah. Well, you know my favorite athlete growing up? Bob Hayes.
Yeah.
I love Bob Hayes, the Bullet.
Okay. Oh, fastest man alive.
I loved him so much, I kept his bubblegum pitch in my wallet until I was about 26 years old.
Yeah, he's the fastest thing out there.
Yeah. So, you know, we all had our styles coming up.
Hey.
Yeah, but I appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
No,
and
thank you, Brooks. Well, we
okay.
definitely will. I see you on the hill at some point.
Yeah, I'm gonna come to your club, man. I'm definitely coming.
Okay. I know you will.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Brooks. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
What's happening, Brooks? Can you hear me now, Brooks? Can you hear me now?
No, you still break it up, but
man,
he,
I know this thing crazy,
man. He's a fantastic dude, man, I'm telling you. My man Malcolm. See, man, one thing about all them guys I had on my team, man, all of them had some history. All of them have been good people in society. I mean, they just, hey, I was lucky to get those type of ball players. That's a once-in-a-lifetime, you know, to have all, and all of them intelligent, you know. I ain't had many dummies on the team, right?
Right.
But that's a guy that you can hook up with, too, with your music, because – you know, I've been to his club before when he had one before, and he's about business.
That's what's up,
and,
man. You don't know how,
yeah.
Man, that just lit my life up, man, right there. That's powerful. That's, you know, something, it's crazy because, I hope everybody can hear me too, but it's crazy because I was just sitting here trying to figure out like what my next move was going to be, you know, and this just happens to drop in my lap like that. That's just crazy, man. So, man, I'm excited for the future, man. With what just happened, man. That was, man. Wow, God's good, man.
Yeah. Well, let me say something real quick. Got a couple announcements. What announcement? You got my man, fighting on February 27th, right?
Where
I got my man Ty Barnett at the convention center. Tickets on sale. Watch my man. They got pro fights. Ty Barnett, Washington D.C. That's my main man, Ty Barnett, man. He's going to bring it. He's going to bring it, right? Yes, your tickets. Get your tickets. And then I got my man, Big Chuck Benoit, right? He played defensive tackle for me. And he was on the show earlier. And he's into the minor league football, and they got a big, big thing happening March the 12th at Capital One Stadium and FedEx Auxiliary Field. So guess what? They're going to have 18 minor league teams. Spring Classic kickoff.
Nice.
It's going to be 6 games from 6 o'clock, I mean from 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the evening. It'll be 8 teams from all around the area, minor league teams, even somebody from North Carolina. So
nice.
Chuck Benoit wanted me to pass that on. And next week, we're going to have John Cotton. I mean, his son plays hockey, so you know that. And his son plays hockey, right? He's coached, been around for years, have coached in the area, coached a lot of young people. He raised a lot of young people, brought them up, right? I mean, he's done a lot for people in this city, especially the youngsters, right? Got Freddie Wagner. We know Juice. Juice going to have his time. So you know what Juice going to be talking about. Himself, how great he is. And you got a great Bob Hayden. Bob Hayden was my coach at Cadoza, and I'm 67 years old. So, you know, Bob been around, and he was a great coach at Woodson, sent about 30, 40 people to the NFL. I mean, it's just endless of people, and won a million championships with Woodson. And he played football. He was in Denver with the Broncos. He played for Godoza, too. So I'm going to have him on the show. I'm going to have a triple. It's going to be a triple hitter next week. So I'm going to have those three on the show next week.
Hey, so, hey, you got to call that. You got to call that.
Okay.
You're now live with the Hitting Man. Kill the head, the body, and die. Welcome to the show. Thanks for listening.
Hello.
Who is it? Who is this?
This is Big Chuck.
Big Chuck. Big Chuck.
Chuck Benoit.
Big Chuck, we just talked about it. Tell us about your big event coming.
It's from the ECAA. Minor League Football. We kick off March 12th at University of Maryland. We have a total of 12 teams, so it'll be actually six games. We'll be using a auxiliary field at the same time. We have teams from as far north as Baltimore, as far south as Raleigh, North Carolina. So everyone is coming to meet in the same area, and I think we're going to have a pretty decent team, decent season.
Hey, how much are the tickets?
The tickets hasn't been determined, but I believe it's going to be around $10. We have a big meeting on Monday to solidify everything. So
okay,
you can, for $10, you can see a full day of football, six games if you want to.
That's what's up.
That's great. And the Outlaws, your team is in it too, right?
Well, I'm no longer the owner. My family actually took over the team. I'm just the president of the league now. But yeah, called the
Chuck. Big Chuck done moved up. He done moved up. He did make his check. You got a cigar? You smoke cigars now?
Huh?
Do you smoke cigars now since you're the big executive?
Oh, nah, man. Never smoke. But, yeah, man, I mean, if you go to ECFAfootball.net, you'll get all the information you need.
Well, I'm going to pass that on. I might be working, but I'm gonna try to come to the games. I get off early, come to watch a game because I haven't seen a game in a long time. I just want to see what's going on. What is probably the best team in the league right now? What is the team you need to watch out for?
I want to say the DMV Knights. They're out of the DC area. The DMV Jaguars. That's Coach Griffiths, their defensive coordinator over there.
Yeah,
Griffin. Right, and we have teams coming from Virginia Beach as well. So, you know, they're usually a decent team coming.
Okay, but, I want to see some big linemen there. You know, I'm a freak for them big linemen. I love them big linemen.
Well, the Knights and the Jaguars, I know for sure, going to have three across the board easily.
Okay. I don't want a big guy with bad feet. Can they run?
since I don't have control of the rosters no more, you know, I can't say too much about it, but I really don't know who's going on. But if they were part of my team, yeah, they would be able to dance a little bit.
Yeah, so anyway, we'll be watching some good football. I encourage everybody to come out. It's March the 12th, right? And you're going to have
March 12th.
You have two fields. You got Capital One Stadium, that's Maryland, right? And you got Auxiliary Field for FedEx, right?
Auxiliary Field next to the Capital One Stadium. It's about 100 yards apart. You can easily walk to.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that means, it's six games, right?
Six.
March 12th.
Great. That's it.
Well, I look forward to it. I'm gonna come out and to watch the game.
All right, let me know you're there. I got you.
Might do the radio show from there. You know, it'd be good.
Okay, we can do that.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Chuck. Hey, Chuck. Chuck.
Yeah.
Don't tell Cooper about it because he might try to suit up. I gotta have him on the show too.
My brain tell me I can still play too.
Yeah. Hey, my brain just try to get me up walking in the morning. I get up and walk. I'm all right.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
But
okay,
I appreciate your time.
Yeah, we're gonna announce it again up until March the 12th, and we're gonna talk about it, okay? And everybody come out and see it. Should be some good football. You got 6 games in one day, right across the street from each other. So go out and enjoy yourself. March 12th should be some good weather there.
Yes,
thank
indeed.
You, man. Appreciate it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
Go ahead, give a shout out to my family, everybody. I know you probably can't hear me, man, but just want to give a shout out to everybody, my lovely wife, and I'm not married yet, but soon to be my kids and everybody.
I'd like to give a shout out to everybody that supported me, my friend, everybody that supported the show, you know, my family, whenever they call in, you know, my daughters. But next week, we're going to have a triple threat. We have Freddie Wagner, we're going to have John Cotton, and we're going to have great Bob Hidden. So, and after that, we got some, hey, each week, we're going to have some special people. And some of you old school guys that know about football, we're going to have George Atkinson, who's playing with the Raiders. We're going to try to get him on at some point. Try to get Azar Raheem, the defensive back coach for Maryland. He used to be the head coach at Friendship and went to Alabama and coached down there. So we got some guests coming on. So I think that if you're not listening to this show, there's something wrong because we got a lot of guests and a lot of journeys these guys have passed through. I mean, we got a lot of journeys. These guys, man, have been through a lot. Cornelius Green been through a lot. You know, we had Redmond. We had Savoy. You know, you heard Malcolm's story. You hear Mark.
Yep.
The things he's done. It's about DMV. That's what it's about, Bob.
You already know, man. Hey, give a shout out to my man, Big Dave. I know he's listening in.
Yeah, you know, he's going to be calling next week with Bob Hidden. Bob Hidden, you know, he's going to call. You watch.
Oh,
Bob Hidden is on. And I don't call him Bob Hidden. I call him Mr. Hidden. I'm just saying Bob Hidden on the radio, but I wouldn't say that in his face. I don't even call him Coach. I call him Mr. Hidden. But, there's going to be a lot of phone calls where everybody wants to talk to, you know, Coach Hidden. You know, he's legendary. Matter of fact, Woodson Stadium is named after him. H.D.
Oh,
Woodson
wow.
Stadium. So, yeah. So, and he's I'm 67. He's about 76, but he looks a whole lot younger than me. Everybody keeps thinking, he played for you? Old as he looks? I gotta hear that every time I'm around people. So yeah, that guy played with me. Not Brooks, old as Brooks is.
Oh my, you was a big kid.
But man, I love my coach, man. Him, Coach Hayden and my father, only 2 men I ever been afraid of.
Oh my.
Yeah. I was afraid of my father and Coach Hayden.
I heard that.
Might be one reason why I'm not in the penitentiary.
Hey. And that's a good look.
Yep. So, man, that was a great show tonight, man. Appreciate it, Bob.
Yeah. No problem,
man. We're different locations. Bob is cracking up. I can't understand what he's saying. But guess what? You're my man, Bob. We're going to get it together.
We're
going to be in the same location.
Yeah.
We're going to be in the same location. Hey, Bob, you still lifting weights?
I'm trying to.
Still lifting weights?
I'm trying to.
You know you lift.
in the heart.
Yeah, I lived 2 days in a row, man. That burned me out. But I was rolling. So.
Well, yeah.
You got to stay up on water, man. You got to try to work out.
Walk the field, definitely.
With my age, you got to work out.
Got to keep it moving.
If you don't, yeah, you got to. You'd be doomed. With all these injuries I got with 8 operations, hey, you better stay active. All you guys are sitting around not doing anything up in the 60 or 70, you better stay active. One day you're going to get up and you won't be able to walk. So you got to try to keep them legs strong.
gmail.com to keep you get on. If you're not on, make sure we take care of our people around here. Man. Got some great, great things coming up this season. Stay aware, pay attention because it's going down. It's your boy Big Box. Everything that everybody all back to the artist voice when you get hurt.
Cravings are characterized by a strong desire that you will go out of your way to satisfy, usually as a result of stress and or emotion. If you ever start to crave something unhealthy, identify the actual food characteristic that is at the core of your hankering. Be man-made? It's probably not good for you. Base your meals on staples of lean meat, eggs, milk, fish, fruits, vegetables, nuts, and whole grains.
They're working on the posture. They're working on being able to stand stronger and taller.